When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's breaking news, everyone. We're one of the first to jump on it. Darvin Ham is fired. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, as well, Inside Sports Fantasy Football. You have to forgive me. I had to take him off screen because Joe is just trying to set up. It looks like he's doing pirouettes. My God, it's making me dizzy here off screen. It is, of course, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends of pop culture. The latest episode that you can find wherever you get your podcast covers the latest state of pro wrestling with me and John Orlando from the PVD cast. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Sean and the guys from the Domination Sports Nation and I cover the winners and losers of the NFL draft. Please join us there as well. Also, our good friends, well, Mr. Joe Soro, who'll be on here in a second, if he can just stay with us here. Of course, also, go ahead. I know, I got you. All right, tell me when you have a stable connection, my friend. But, of course, when you've got everything going on with Joe Soro, he's still trying to find. Yes, this episode has been interrupted by Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham, indeed. But, of course, just go ahead and make sure you check out Joe Soro's Oxide 247 at LakersBall.com. Plus, also, as well, of course, Simblades, his company he's working at right now. Simblades. Simblades with a Y.com. Plus, also, of course, go ahead and check us out with the Lakerholics crew. They're coming tomorrow, 10 a.m., and I know they'll be saying quite a few things, what's going on with Darvin Ham, so go ahead and join the Lakerholics. Plus, stop by their site, Lakerholics.com. John Costa's Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner. Get well. Maybe Darvin Ham being fired will help you get well, John Costa, so hopefully you will feel better. Stone Hansen was right all along. He talked about getting rid of Darvin Ham years ago. So go ahead and check out what he's doing today at report_court. Also, as well, of course, go ahead and check out the guys at Lakers and Five, Empire Jeff TV, Clutch Talk with Lakers Corner, John McCallion Channel, and of course, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, please support all these great channels. And of course, subscribe today from us at the Lakers Fast Break. Doobie says, fire Ham and wins and losses. And he hates Ham and wins his losses. And to him, this is almost like winning the world champion itself. Joe Soro's here. You just heard the news, my friend. Adrian Wojnarowski and ESPN is reporting that Darvin Ham has been let go as the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Your thoughts, my friend, initially when you hear the news that was expected by us last night.
And you can hear me very well?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. So this was an inevitability. Did I say that right? It was inevitable.
Yes, Thanos.
Yes, it was inevitable. So now it's time to forget about Darvin Ham right now and go forward on what the replacement is. The four candidates right now that are already out is Kenny Atkinson, Budenholzer, J.J. Redick, and should the Clippers dismiss Ty Lue, Ty Lue. We discussed last night that that's the near-perfect candidate for the Lakers is going to be Ty Lue, and I still believe that. J.J. Redick has never been a coach. Budenholzer has had a couple of stints in Atlanta and in Milwaukee. Obviously, he won a championship in Milwaukee. Coached really well in Atlanta. I think Atlanta was a first seed at one point during his reign there. And then, of course, Kenny Atkinson, who's, I would say, someone that could be second in line in my book if they had to go with one of those four. So right now, the candidates for me is Ty Lue, should he be available, Kenny Atkinson next, and then if you have to go with a veteran coach that's championship worthy and has been around a little bit, you know, that's going to be an option. And of course, if you want to really go green and think that J.J. Redick could be the next Steve Kerr, anything's better than what we had. That's kind of where I stand on it at this point.
Well, again, I don't know about the possibility of J.J. Redick. I just think he's going into one mistake to another when it comes to J.J. Redick. An unproven individual stepping into from the broadcast booth into, you know, a coaching. It has worked before. I mean, Pat Riley came from Channel 9 doing KCAL stuff to assistant coach to what we saw with Pat Riley. So again, it can work, but I just have my reservations about, you know, LeBron and AD in their final years of really high productivity being led by someone who has no coaching experience.
Yeah, not having the coaching experience is important for a team like this. But more than that is there's going to have to be a really – the due diligence is going to have to be putting the candidate in a position, especially those who are not – it's really just J.J. Redick, really. Or if there is another up-and-comer that they'll be interviewing, you got to put them in scenarios. How would you adjust to this particular lineup? You'd show them film of Denver and how they adjusted and how they played a certain way, or anybody in general. One of the main issues with Darvin Ham was there was a lack of an identity that he created with his team. So when someone would sit or when someone wasn't available, he was quick to say, well, we had injuries. Okay, I get if your injuries are LeBron James for a month or if AD was gone for a month. We didn't have any of that this last year. The Lakers did not have any of that. They had the perfect scenario in that your two stars played almost every game this year. And on top of that, your team scored as well as they ever have from the three-point line. You had all these positives, yet you still were losing games and you still looked like you didn't know what you were doing. So I want the next coach to understand that you do, you know, I don't know if we're going to get another year like that with AD and LeBron, but you have to go into the year just assuming that we have to have that. You know, it's not something you can stop. But at the same time, the deficiencies is lack of fundamentals, lack of positioning, lack of court balance, lack of a go-to play, lack of after timeout plays, lack of any kind of mentality that says we're going to beat you. The Lakers always looked like they were not confident enough to do what they needed to do. They kind of made up some ground. They came back from that large lead against the Clippers. They beat New Orleans in New Orleans on back-to-back games to get into the playoffs at New Orleans, and they're a fairly good team. But this is a championship or bust situation. You can't sit there and go, well, we beat New Orleans and we beat so-and-so. No, LeBron and AD have to win championships for this to matter. or at least compete. And they didn't compete this year as well as they should have. They're out in the first round, and they keep playing in the play-ins when it's time for this team to start getting into the top four or at least a five seed. Really, top four is the only way this thing's going to probably work. You got to start at home in the first round, second round, hopefully. It just makes things much easier for you to get off on the right foot and win games and win playoff series. It's very hard to play the first two games on the road every series. It's difficult. It takes stuff out of you. Plus, the West has to travel to the East a lot for some of these teams that they're playing. So the good teams that you're playing are New Orleans. Last year was Memphis, Minnesota. These teams could be East teams. So you're traveling to Minnesota. You're traveling to Memphis. You're traveling to New Orleans. You're not playing in LA. You're not playing in Phoenix. You're not playing in Golden State. In a lot of these series, it taxes you even more. And then on top of that, the team that happens to be really good right now is Denver, whom play in a high elevation area, which makes it even more difficult, especially considering they're used to it and they're also very, very talented. These details matter, and I don't believe Darvin Ham in any way. I'd be surprised if it was, because if he did, I think they'd be winning the way they're supposed to. I don't think this guy had any clue about anything I just said. I don't think he paid attention to any of this stuff. Now, the question is, why am I paying attention to it? Well, I'm an observer, and if you're a problem solver, that's the kind of stuff you need to put in your brain. What's going to help? What isn't going to help? Why would I do this? Why would I not do this? We need a coach that can adapt, change, and not make excuses. You saw this, the post-game interview with Eric Spoelstra. Why is he the top three coach in the NBA? He didn't make any excuses, and his team was decimated. Absolutely decimated with injuries to his top guys. So, and he's not making excuses. So no more excuses. Excuse me, guys. I'm getting on the freeway here.
That's okay. Watch out, man. Watch out.
No, I'm clear. I'm good. So yeah, it's a lot of detail here, but Lakers have to do their due diligence here, man. And LeBron needs to play a factor in this. AD needs to be involved in this in the sense of, guys, what is it going to take for the next coach to command respect so that the other 13 guys fall in line? Because that's important. If you two fall in line, if you allow yourselves to get coached, told that you're doing something wrong in front of the team, and you sit there and you eat it, I know that's going to be hard for you, LeBron, but that's going to help you get to where you want to go, LeBron. LeBron, you win one more championship, and you're probably sitting next to Jordan this time. Still not sitting next to him. I don't care how many numbers you got. But if you win one more, you're probably sitting next to Jordan now at this point. It's not going to be anybody that's going to really be able to say anything. I mean, the trolls will say something because they're scumbags. But five championships, two with this team, two with that team, one in Cleveland. You know, you're still going to be playing, what, your 22nd season? You're still valuable. You're still putting up great numbers. You know, all this stuff will factor into that. And you probably get a statue now at that point if you're a multiple champion in L.A.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching this thing. Darvin Ham was let go today by the Los Angeles Lakers. And before I get to Henry Hill, I want to go ahead and read the statement that was made earlier by the organization in their official press release. El Segundo, out of there, their offices right there. We greatly appreciate Darvin's efforts on behalf of the Lakers and recognize the many accomplishments achieved over the past two seasons, including last year's remarkable run to the Western Conference Finals, said Lakers Vice President of Basketball Operations and General Manager Rob Pelinka. We all want to thank Darvin for his dedication and positivity. While this was a difficult decision to make, it is the best course of action following a full review of the season. This organization will remain unwavering in its commitment to deliver championship-caliber basketball to Laker fans around the world. So with that in mind, a very happy man indeed is, of course, the guy behind Courtside Lakers. It is, of course, Henry Hill. Henry, great to have you here. I've been trying to get you on a show forever, but it took, of course, your arch nemesis, your nemesis, your nemesi, Darvin Ham in order to get fired, in order for you to come on the air. Your thoughts, my friend. How are you happier or almost as happy as Doobie is?
No, Doobie takes the cake. He's been saying this since day one.
Okay.
But I am very happy. Happy Friday, gentlemen. It's a great day. I really want someone else fired, but that's unrealistic. Pelinka's good.
The guy who made the statement I wanted fired.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. It sounds like he's invincible. Probably said like a Kobe story to Genie in the morning or something. He had a dream that Kobe told him to let Darvin Ham go or something like that. But I mean, it's a good day. We knew this was coming all week. We knew he was going to be let go, like all these reports out there. I do like the list of coaches that are available now that Shams or Woj mentioned in their tweets. My preferred choice, I think everyone's preferred choice, would be Ty Lue if he's let go. I don't know how we keep mentioning it. All these leaks are coming out, right? Like Lakers want Ty Lue, Lakers want Ty Lue. I think that's going to be more of a reason for the Clippers to keep him, but I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I think they would do it just to mess with the Lakers. If you know, unless Ty actually wants to get out of Dodge and head on over or across
the
street.
Yeah, so. I think the only way that would happen, Clippers will for sure try to keep him just to keep him away from the Lakers. But I think it could be like a mutual parting of ways or something, because that team has run its course. I mean, Kawhi's always injured. I would love to have Ty Lue. That's my number one option. I don't know about going the JJ Redick inexperience route. I think I'm just haunted by what we just experienced. But
you're going to hear his name a lot more. Let's just put it that way.
For sure. For sure. And I think he's a smart basketball mind, and I think he could be a good coach. I just don't know if jumping into a Lakers role, Lakers head coach position, is the best thing for his career, honestly. If I was a friend of his, I'd probably advise him. Yeah, I mean, the pressure of being a Lakers coach is immense. And I mean, I just want someone that could call timeouts, man. Call timeouts, play bigger lineups. Obviously, we'll see what they do in the offseason, but I don't know. We can't get rid of Rob Pelinka, so this is the next best option.
And we can't get Genie to sell the team to a better ownership group, but again, that's...
We got to take the wins where we can.
Yes, got to take the wins where we can.
I'm excited.
I know you are, my friend. I'm glad you're here. Please, don't let a next time a coach get fired be before you come on the air.
I just don't like listening to myself. I'm working from home today, so I figured I'm just going to hop on with you guys, celebrate.
There you go. Celebrate someone else's misfortune indeed.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cold.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But it is, of course, Darvin Ham getting fired by the Los Angeles Lakers. And also here today, chomping down on the bit, he is the man from Toronto. He did get out of lunch to go ahead and stop on by to chew the fat on the firing and the termination of duties for one Darvin Ham. He seems to be enjoying a Darvin Ham meal. Joe, that's too much of a view. I want to see on you as he's driving on the freeway. That's the last thing I want to see right there. Oh, my God. It is Magic Man, Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you here. This is what happens when you have these breaking news impromptu shows, Magic Man.
Gotta eat when you can, Joe.
I know you're eating, and we're seeing a crotch shot of Joe Soro while he's driving on the freeway.
Dickhead did that on purpose.
I noticed how it started just go like the camera just slowly pans down. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, whatever. But Blue Magic, Palinka is next.
It's not that funny.
I thought it was hilarious. Magic Man, I want to ask your thoughts.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually.
I want to ask your thoughts, though. Darvin Ham has been terminated. Obviously, now the speculation begins in La La Land, where the media attention always seems to shine upon in regards to who will replace Darvin Ham. Your thoughts on the dismissal of Darvin Ham? We've talked about it for the past few days. Jovan Buha got the word that could happen as early as today, and it did. Your thoughts on what goes on now after Darvin Ham?
Gerald, coaches are hired to be fired, and I would, maybe it is a misfortune for him, but he gets paid for a year to do nothing. So I think only the third year was guaranteed, Henry. I'm not sure if the fourth year was.
I'll take your word for it. I just don't think they're that smart of an organization.
Touche. But I thought John Costa had mentioned that only the third year was guaranteed. Anyway, yeah. I got the Earth, Wind, and Fire celebrate song going on in my head right now. We can't use it, but for copyright purposes. But it was an eventuality, Gerald. It was an eventuality. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't prepared for this environment.
No.
He was not prepared. And I think a lot of, partial blame obviously goes to Darvin. I think partial blame goes to who he was under. I mean, he was under Mike Budenholzer in not one organization, but two. He was with them with the Atlanta Hawks, and he was with them with the Milwaukee Bucks. And if Rob Pelinka had done his due diligence, Gerald, I'm pretty sure Bud would probably give him rave reviews. But then again, we all know that eventually Bud had a shelf life too, whether it was in Atlanta or whether it was Milwaukee. The five out just was not working. Defensively, there seemed to be no rhyme or reason for him to have AD out on the perimeter when you had guys like D'Lo or, at times, Gabe Vincent as your rim protector. It was just an awful sequence of decisions that he made, whether it was rotations, as Henry's talked about incessantly, the lack of awareness for timeouts, lack of awareness for challenges, lack of awareness when your team is down on a 9-0 run and you call a timeout when it's 15-0 or 13-0. And it was just those little things that he let slip by, and it's the little things that kill Gerald. And overall, I'm sure he's a fine person. Like, no, I don't think anybody's really treading on him as an individual. But I also have to agree with Joe and with Henry and John and all the other Laker fans out there. I was just put off by him earlier this season saying, I'm sick and tired of Laker fans living and dying on every game. As if that's a rational excuse or a way to shield your own accountability by projecting your own insecurities on the Laker fans. I mean, we had enough insecurities with him as a head coach to begin with. And for him to kind of project that and say he was sick and tired of it. No, what happened was, Gerald, he was sick and tired of hearing the same criticisms, but he didn't do anything about it, or at least on the surface, it didn't seem like anything was being done about it. And my question now is, I just heard the news, is the entire staff let go? Does that include Phil Handy, who is now no longer a Lakers coach as well?
I've not gotten a confirmation on that.
I haven't seen that either. Yeah,
I don't want to. I've only gotten the confirmation of him.
Most likely, a good organization would allow the next coach to hire
their staff.
Well, yes. There's usually still like one or two left behind.
Yeah, like a Handy or
organization.
Something.
Yeah, that the organization truly loves. The Ham guys are usually let go in this situation, mm-hmm. and it's usually the Laker lifers. Like you said, Handy is one of them that goes back before Ham that probably will be retained by the organization. But again, we have not gotten any confirmation on that.
Also, for Handy, I know I've seen a lot of tweets and whatnot from Laker fans saying like he deserves a chance or whatever. I think he's just kind of, I don't want to discredit him. He's an insane basketball mind developmental guy, but I think that's the role that he's best in. I feel like this year he got the assistant head coach role type, like I believe offensive coordinator type role, and not necessarily to discredit them. They had a pretty good offense, but I just don't think he's best fit for that role. Like, I think he should work on, if they wind up keeping him, like Gabe Vincent, the Rui, stuff like that, to continue developing the younger folks, because we do have a pretty young team as of right now. I mean, Lord knows what's going to happen draft night. They might trade people, trade some players, draft picks and whatnot, but I wouldn't mind keeping Handy in the developmental role. But to be honest, if Ty Lue comes in, right, and says, I don't want Handy, I have Sean Grice as my developmental guy, you tell Handy, I'll see you later, buddy.
Well, with that said, Joe, if you're on the road, my friend, right now, I know that you're heading out doing Simblade stuff, but I'm asking you, my friend, I mean, you were very encouraged by what you see with this organization making the move today, but there's still a lot of things that they need to correct and need to take care of. What do you think a new coach will do to this particular unit that they have out there right now?
I'm going to be curious to see if they'll hire a coach before the draft. If they hire a coach before the draft, that would be a first sign that they were prepared for this moment before they made the decision today, maybe even before the season ended. Also, they're going to allow the coach to have some say in what kind of player they want, because if you plan on having a coach stay for a while for the first time in God knows how long, since Phil Jackson, we would like to get some input from the coach on what he would be able to work with. You can't hire the head chef and not let him pick some of the damn food that he wants to cook. That would be the first step. Second step, continuity beyond this. I am in full support that the Lakers bring everyone back unless it's an offer you cannot refuse. What is that? I don't know. I really don't know what that is. Is it a third star? Is it a disgruntled star? I don't know what that is. I don't see anything that's kind of in the works other than the usual crap like Trae Young or Spider out in Cleveland or maybe Jeremy Grant type player. Like, I don't really put any weight on any of that stuff. I'm just not going to do that. The Lakers have a good team. They have two stars that played well. Yeah, LeBron, you know, did his thing sometimes that irritated us, but that's everybody, and nothing's perfect, right? So the most important thing is you got this issue out of the way. Darvin, we knew, could not coach in the NBA as a head coach. He just can't. So you find the right coach.
We're losing service. You, Joe. We're losing you. We got your video, but no audio. We lost your audio. Right at the good part.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe. So, Sean, I guess while we lose, while we hopefully bring back. Yeah, Sean, let me get you back in here and I'll get you on in a sec, Henry. Yeah. Your thoughts again, my friend, what you're thinking about with Darvin Ham and a replacement for him. Yeah, because Joe, we're only got video for you. Your audio is lost.
I agree 100% with what Joe was saying. I think it's organization for you to hire a coach before the draft. So you have your guy in the room with management and they can discuss who you want to bring in. Despite the talk about Luke Walton, Gerald, Rob Pelinka still had Luke Walton in the draft room with them during the 2017 draft, and his input was valid. I didn't get the sense, well, we didn't have many, but I didn't get the sense that Rob Pelinka necessarily respected or wanted Vogel's input, particularly when it came to draft picks. It seemed like Pelinka was doing that autonomously. I'd hopefully like to see a changing of the guard there, not to put a pun on it, but to actually have the coach in the room, because I'm sure this new coach has a philosophy that he wants to establish early on, as far as, you know, because we're finally going to get somebody who actually runs an offensive philosophy that they stick to. He has sets, he has options, he can be a hybrid, think on the fly. And in that respect, you need another voice in the war room when you're discussing who you're going to take with that pick, whether or not it's in the first round or the second round. And secondly, obviously, you're going to need this person's opinion and probably their sign off on if you are going to make a trade, who you making the trade for. Why are you making it? And what's the philosophy? See, that we talked about it yesterday with Pelinka, Gerald. Pelinka needs a coach with a philosophy because he, as a GM, does not have one. So if you have a coach with a philosophy, it helps you be a better decision maker. And that's imperative, especially when you look at all the teams left in the NBA playoffs, Gerald. Look at all of them. The Knicks, the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Wolves, for the most part, all these teams are buttoned up. They have organizational structure. They have a philosophy. At least the three of them do. The Knicks worked their way around the OG trade this year, but that it basically paid off. So I would say they're sticking with Tibbs' philosophy as a coach. So you need to work hand in hand with the coach and develop a philosophy so Pelinka understands what players he can target. See, I think from Walton, Vogel, and Ham, I think there was just too much information overload with Pelinka. And when you have somebody who doesn't have a philosophy and they're basically gauging everybody's opinion, like Jeannie said, oh, we got this person's opinion and we got that person's opinion, sometimes that's not good.
I just think it's a representation of some dysfunction or plenty of dysfunction within the hierarchy of this organization, and I think that needs to be rectified. Otherwise, whoever you hire as a coach may incur the same kind of problems. Now, if the same coach, we hire a coach, guys, and Joe, I'll bring you back in. And Henry, I got you on here too. I actually, let me go ahead and I'll give you a chance to speak here in a second. If another coach comes in and has the same kind of effect on this team, what does that say about the organization then? It really speaks volumes about the organization. So let me go ahead and bring Henry in real quick, and Joe, I'll get you back on here in a sec. But Henry, your thoughts. I mean, again, whoever we bring in better change this organization for the better in LeBron's supposed final years if he signs an extension.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think you need, as far as coaching-wise, someone that could command the respect of the locker room. And I feel like Darvinham lost that really quickly. And it didn't help that anytime your star players go to the media and talk publicly about we don't know what we're doing out there at times, he goes and says, I agree to disagree with my best player. So that would be my first prerequisite in any coach, whether it's my dream hire in Tyronn Lue or like a rookie head coach like JJ Redick. Just need to find out if this person can command the respect of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Because if those two buy in, however way they fill the roster, I really do like the current roster. I feel like we just need to make some marginal moves rather than go for a third star, because that doesn't work, especially with the second apron nowadays being involved. That would be my prerequisite. But obviously, organizationally from the top, Genie and Pelinka, they're here to stay. And that's the worst part of it all, but we can't really do anything about that. I just feel like that's not even a business relationship. It's more personal, and like a lot of like families are involved. So she can't like just get rid of Pelinka or fire him. It's just like, I feel like their families are close and whatnot, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, but again, it's the overall, what do you have? Do you worried about feelings? As Joe, let me bring you in here on this.
Facts over feelings?
Yeah, facts.
I'm just kidding. I don't want to hear one quote from this man ever again. I don't want to hear.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, for a society that's into their feelings, a lot of people talk about facts over feelings, but they don't really lift. They don't really execute it when it matters. And because they're worried about being judged, they're worried about losing their jobs, they're worried about losing whatever it is that they have. And you got a guy like Darvinham who is supposed to be a man's man. This guy's grown up in a suspect environment. He's hardened. Yet he spoke like a feelings over facts guy. Why? Because he submitted to the pressure of appeasing, and it still didn't matter in the end. He still got fired. So why don't you go all the way in? You know, David Blatt, who's not even an American, went all in. He got fired. This is him having the number one team in the Eastern Conference too. Why? Because LeBron got him fired. We all know that. You want to talk tough. You want to be a tough guy. You want to have the stick. You got to be about the stick all the way through. You can't filter around with it. And he did. He did when he said dumb things like Lakers focused on each game.
Joe, we're losing you again.
Yeah, he's talking about what Sean said.
Right?
I think we got you back. We can hear you now, Joe. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm almost at my destination. It'll be a little easier for me to talk, but you can't sit there and give out excuses when you got role players that are not showing up because of injury. You have your stars there. Dude, you're supposed to have that figured out. You're supposed to at least sustain a philosophy, a focus. If you're losing Anthony Davis for 3 months, yeah, that makes sense. Just like how we saw with Milwaukee, Giannis, Lillard, not available. They got bounced in six. We get that. But you can't sit there and have your two main stars play virtually all season. And even guys like D'Angelo Russell didn't miss time. And Austin Reeves didn't miss time. How the hell are you going to use injuries as an excuse? Especially considering the one guy that was injured, he was injured like early in the year. He didn't get injured 3/4 of the remaining season. So this is what a loser, no leadership type person does. We see these people all around. Gerald, I'm going to keep bringing back your old stomping grounds. That's more greed, but the people that are running these AAA businesses in the video game world, these guys don't have a goddamn clue what the hell they're doing. They have all these inflated budgets. They don't know what the hell to do in terms of distribution and how to market. Instead, what they're doing is that throw $200 million in a game and then, oh, shoot, we got to put it up for 70 bucks. Oh, by the way, you got to pay 100 bucks because it has this particular character and this is going to massage your butt and all this. And then no one knows about it, right? So enough of the bull crap. And this goes for LeBron, too. LeBron, you want to win a championship? You need to absolutely be on board on this next coach.
And wouldn't you know, his voice goes out as soon as he starts really accentuating that. Can you hear me, Joe? Are you still there? Are you still there, Joe?
Are you talking? Didn't hear any?
We heard.
I'm here.
Yeah, I heard about you. Yeah, you know, LeBron. Your message to LeBron, like halfway through, got
I'm
it.
I'm turning.
You're turning. All right, it's going out.
So, am I repeating?
We can hear you now, Joe. You there? All right. He's just going.
He's that's a dishwasher. Crazy, I'm not.
I'm here.
Okay. So finish up, Joe, because until you get a better signal.
You guys can hear me, right?
Yes. Yes. Please go. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So LeBron has to be on board here, guys. I mean, more so than he's ever been. All right. One more turn.
Here we go. All right. There we go. 360. All right. There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
You like that? There you go.
Yeah, you just got
her. LeBron's got to be on board.
Go ahead, Joe.
Still nothing?
You got you. We got you. You're good. Go. Okay. Finish up, Joe. Nah, he's
right. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to have to, Joe, you're cutting out.
I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. You got it. Okay, so. Magic Man, let me get you. I hit that one too many times. Magic Man, let me bring you back into this. Sorry about that, everyone. It is, of course, the Lakers fast break. Darvin Ham has been let go by the organization. Joe Sorrell was mobile on the freeway and in residential areas. So hopefully he'll join
we'll
us
go
again.
Mobile.
Exactly. I'm here with Henry Hill from Courtside Lakers and, of course, Sean Grice, the Magic Man. I want to hear your thoughts on this, Magic Man. Again, this is not okay, and I know that our commenters always say after the fact, oh, you guys are just blaming Ham for this. No, we're not just blaming Ham. I mean, it's a shared, I say this again till I'm just blue in the face. It is a shared organizational blame from the top down. Starts with Jeannie, who has not made good decisions as a governor since she's taken sole proprietorship. It's of course, Rob Pelinka, who has not been a proven good evaluator of talent or will retain talent that is good. He will not retain it. Then we have LeBron. And LeBron, again, he is not LeBron at 29. I think people need to come to grips with that. He is not the man he was and player he was 10 years ago. So you are going to get him lackadaisical on defense. You are going to go ahead and get him mistakes at a point where he is fatigued. That's just who he is at this point in his career. And you have to build around this older player that he is and not build a team around looking for a 29-year-old LeBron, which what Pelinka has been doing. AD has given you everything. I think if anybody gets a pass, it's AD for the way he tried to go ahead and gut it out for so much. You know, he even tried to play at the same level, and in some cases, he surpassed Jokic during the course of that series. So I really think that
I thought he outplayed him.
And overall, I'd say probably this, you know, it bears out. Although again, who won the ultimate series? I guess.
Well, I think they lost because of the role players,
And plus he got hurt. Him getting hurt in that third quarter that obviously didn't help. But then again, so did the offensive rebounds, the nine missed free throws. We could go on and on. But again, it is a shared blame in that. And here also to discuss and jump in, another guy. Wouldn't you know it takes Darvin Ham to get fired to get both Henry Hill and this guy on the regular show. They're great parts of our playback.tv /Lakers Fast Break crew. It is Laker Nick. And Laker Nick, great to have you here.
Gerald, you also caught him on lunch too. This is opportunistic timing.
Yeah, that's true. I caught Joe on the freeway. I caught Henry chewing some stuff, some snacks, you eating your lunch. Laker Nick, are you on lunch or are you okay to talk, my friend?
I'm actually right next to Darvin Ham right now, Gerald.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
He's retained me as counsel for unlawful termination.
Really? Okay. No. Okay. No, I know you're just kidding, my friend. But your thoughts, my friend, on today's action by the Los Angeles Lakers.
So, Gerald, the writing was on the wall, right? And we anticipated the news coming either yesterday or today. My understanding is that Rob will be having a press conference, I think, on Monday. And, you know, just seeing the candidates that are out there, I don't know. I mean, I would expect and hope that LeBron's going to be on board and have a big influence on who the next coach is. I am in the camp that thinks that LeBron still, you know, wields a disproportionate amount of influence on the organization. And I'm sure he's going to have certain people or a certain person that he's going to be lobbying for moving forward. I have to think that obviously Anthony Davis and LeBron James had to give their stamp of approval before Darvin Ham was dismissed.
I see Richard Kenny's thing as far as how Pelinka doesn't fall on his sword is beyond me. Let me ask you this, Joe, and I'll bring it back to you now that we've got you on a more stable connection. How much do you think that Kobe connection really matters within the confines of El Segundo and the Lakers organization?
It's a great question, because I was actually going to mention this before you asked the question. I'm still trying to figure out why Kobe had Rob Pelinka so close to him. It's a weird one. There's two things that Kobe, again, I know no one's perfect, but I never understood Kobe's rift with his family. I always see rift like that between families as a really bad negative, regardless of whose fault it is. The other is I can't understand why he was so close to this guy. And I say this wearing his alma mater's hat, which, by the way, this was given by my cousin in support of Michigan football. I'm from Michigan. I was born in Michigan, I should say. And I'm not a Michigan fan like my cousins, but I do support them for them. But with that, ever since that KCP press conference, I've never really liked Rob Pelinka. There was something that oozed out of him in that press conference that just
looks like a sleazeball.
He looks like a snake oil salesman. He talks in PC. Now, there's different levels of PC. There's PC where you just want to get out of there. You don't want to deal with BS. And then there's those who try to talk with an eloquence and PC. I don't trust those people. And then you see Magic Johnson not too long after that, even though Magic has his own faults. The fact that he, you know, said that this guy has, you know, backstabbing tendencies. And what that told me was Rob Pelinka needed to tell Magic, you're screwing up to his face. I think that would have been more what Magic's used to seeing. You know, when Pat Riley would, I'm sure, tell him, hey, look, stop doing this, I'm sure they built more respect that way. But Rob isn't that kind of guy. Rob is probably going to tell somebody behind the scenes, hey, this guy's not doing his job, instead of going to his face and telling him. And then you start seeing all this stuff. Let's talk basketball. They didn't talk to Frank Vogel, who just won you a championship a year earlier, whether he thinks he can coach, at least I haven't heard it, a Russell Westbrook. They didn't put him in any kind of position as a leader on this team, as a head freaking coach, a head coach who helped you win a championship. He gave this guy no respect in the decision process in there. It's always, well, LeBron was cool with it, and we're reacting to the Brooklyn, whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm like, well, where's Frank Vogel in this? Because I would have sat Frank, and I'm like, Frank, should we bring this guy in here? And I get, and be honest, and I'm pretty sure Frank Vogel would be like, hey, man, look, I'm not here to babysit some guy who's trying to play like he did 5 years ago when he can't. That's what I would have said. And guess what? You had the worst trade that in Laker history that you put together, and you ended up firing your championship coach. The one coach that I can honestly say for the first time since Phil Jackson, I didn't have a heart attack watching him coach for 2 years. Never. Like, there were times where I'm like, ah, Frank should have done this. But it was never, ever a situation where you're like, does this guy know what he's doing? Like, I, honest to God, never felt that with Frank Vogel. Because he did have a philosophy. He was good in a certain area. Yeah, he might not be the right offensive X's and O's.
Yeah.
But you do have an advantage by having a LeBron James, who's technically the Peyton Manning of the NBA, where you can kind of lean on him to dictate tempo, dictate the offense. You have AD, who's pretty damn smart himself. So then at that point, you can say, hey, look, guys, I'm going to teach these guys what to do. You kind of navigate through that, and I'll obviously put in my input here and there. But at the end of the day, I never felt like Frank Vogel cost the Lakers anything. As a matter of fact, after all the shit they went through in 2021, if AD doesn't get hurt, he's a back-to-back NBA championship coach.
They did him dirty, man. They did him dirty.
Yeah, they did him dirty. And that right there, honestly, and needs to be number two in the Rob Pelinka shithouse after the Westbrook trade, in that your leadership as the general manager really hit a skid on that one by getting rid of him. Why would you get rid of him? Because of Russell Westbrook? I would believe a homeless guy that I don't know over Russell Westbrook. We know who Russell Westbrook is. I don't know who the homeless guy is. He might be smart. He just might be down on his luck. But we know who Russell Westbrook is. Russell Westbrook is about this. And you know how you know, guys? Because he's always yapping about, I got a family and I have a great life and blah, blah, blah. Look, dude, every NBA player has a great life. You're millionaires. You've made it in life. We're not talking about your personal and your life. We're talking about on the basketball court. On the basketball court, you're napalm. That's what you are. We don't care about the other stuff. Sorry, I don't care about what goes on. We've said this about 100 different people. I don't care what's going on outside the court. I care about the court. On the court, you suck ass. And I don't care if you've got 18 MVPs, you're going to Hall of Fame. I'm talking about today, you suck.
Yeah.
And this was all, and I'll finish this up because I am going to be heading out here soon, guys. This is all under the guise of Rob and Jeannie because they're the leaders of the team. They are the decision makers. Jeannie. Rob Pelinka. Jeannie hires Rob Pelinka because he was vouched by Kobe. Now, going back to answering your question, Gerald, I would be very curious to see, because this happens, and I think this is what it is. I've actually said this on the show a while back. You know how a matriarch or a patriarch person, you know, entity in a family passes away? You ever heard how when that person dies, the family crumbles? You heard that before, right? Like my grandmother, she kept everyone in line when she was alive. The second she died, I started seeing weird stuff with my uncles and my aunts. Like people kind of, now they didn't have to worry about appeasing the queen. So they did more stuff that they probably really wanted to do, right? But they didn't do it before because they didn't want to upset and disrespect their mother. Same situation here. Kobe passes away, and maybe Rob was in that kind of controlled state with Kobe, because Kobe like, what the hell are you doing? The moment Kobe passes away, now he's like, oh, I can kind of be my own guy now. I don't have to worry about Kobe getting on me and going, what the hell are you doing? Because you don't think that Kobe is that kind of guy? I guarantee you he was that kind of guy. So maybe he kept Rob in line when he was around. And when he died, Rob, the real Rob came out. The agent Rob came out. And this is what you have. The results in the pudding. This is not me trying to be a jerk and say this guy sucks just because for no reason. Look what he does. Look how he treats people. And Jeannie is, yeah. She inherited the team. She's maybe a little bit better version of Georgia Fonterra at this point. That's it.
Yeah, and Joe, your comment right now begs the question, right? As you were mentioning that point, I wonder if at all over these past weeks or past few days since the season's been over for the Lakers, if Jeannie Buss has actually thought about the fact that this is the second head coach that Rob sacrifices, right? And I'm not saying that Ham didn't deserve to be fired. I think he did. But if you read the Lakers statement, right, one of the lines of the Lakers statement that dismisses Darvin Ham, it reads, quote, "While this was a difficult decision to make, it isn't the best course of action following a full review of the season." My question is, did that full review of the season include Rob Pelinka's performance? I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, let me say one more thing and I'm going to head out. Let me say one more thing because I want to. I like to answer our audience's questions as much as I can. Hernan, Jeannie does have good intentions in a vacuum, but her execution says otherwise. And I want you to pay attention to this, okay? She is the owner. There's been a lot of disrespectful things done to certain people that did not deserve it. Frank Vogel is the one we're talking about right now, your championship coach. The other, even worse, how you treated Jerry West. You text. You didn't have the freaking nuts to call him directly or even call his wife. You text her at 11 o'clock at night. Who texts at 11 o'clock at night to say, oh, by the way, we're taking something away from you? Other than the person who's trying to avoid conflict. Cowards do that kind of stuff, okay? You fire Frank Vogel. You're supporting a guy who keeps messing up. You keep sitting on this Kobe thing. Kobe is gone, folks. He is gone. Get out of your own heads. Be your own people, okay? Be your own people. Stop waiting for... You want friends around you to feel good? That's fine. I have friends that make me feel real good, too, that are around me. But guess what? None of them work with me. None. None are in my work. You can't do what I do knowing who they are. They don't work like that. They're not wired like that. So Jeannie has a good intentions, but her execution says otherwise. And I'm going to end it on this. We've said it 100 times. $1 billion. Yes, I don't care what she's worth in liquid. Okay. She's sitting on at least a $10 billion franchise. Yet she's taken out PPP loans to cover employee expenses.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
While there are people out there whose businesses got destroyed by all the goddamn rules in LA. People here where I'm at, people over there on the left, people on the right. Yeah, they were running it too, but it wasn't as excessive as the city of LA. LA destroyed itself. They destroyed small business. Yet you have the gall sitting on a $10 billion team to go and try to cover, what, $600,000 worth of employee money? You get called out on it, and then you retract. Nothing breeds more cowardice than when you retract from who you are. You want to come back out and say, look, it's part of the rules, I do it. Yeah, you're still a piece of shit at the end, but... go with it instead of retracting at that point. And that's what they do, guys. This is what they do. This is the kind of people they are. These are the kind of people, if they weren't associated with the LA Lakers, I would never even look at them. I would never do business with them. I would never hang out with them. And believe me, guys, there are more people like Jeannie and Rob out there than you can ever imagine. They're not those CEO types in terms of like Bob Iger types. Those guys are 10 times worse, but they're close. Like, they would be those guys if they're in those positions, because these guys don't have, they go into their own world. Maybe they're too rich. Maybe they've got too much privilege. I don't know. Whatever it is, bottom line is, at this point, we're stuck with this because we love the Lakers. The Lakers have given us a lot. It's just unfortunate that the right people, when they were given this stuff, are all gone. Dr. Buss is gone. Kobe's gone. When, you know, players that were involved, like Paul Gasol and all those guys. And, you know, it's just, it's tiresome at this point. My focus now is you got to get the right coach and get them the F involved with the draft, and with free agency so that this guy can cook up something for you so he can sit on that podium and take all the credit in the end. You can go ahead and do that. Just bring more banners here. There you go. That's my compromise. With that, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you guys probably, I'm assuming, probably later tonight. Tomorrow. I'll see you next time.
We can talk when Mavericks win by 40 today.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. I'll be on here in a little bit with Alfred Esmond from Orlando Magic Daily at 2 p.m. Pacific time. But before I hit it back to you guys, I wanted to go ahead and get a comment. Super chat, Corey Spencer, $10. Thank you so much. Truly appreciate the super chat. LeBron pulls all the strings. Ham is a clutch client. Lakers won't be the same until LeBron leaves. Clutch is gone. Palinka is only doing LeBron's bidding. So I want to hear your guys' thoughts on that. Thank you again, Corey, for appreciate the super chat. Magic Man, I'll bring it back to you. Hoping you've had a nice lunch while Joe had his rant. I wanted to go ahead and ask you, is that, see, that's the theme. Everybody think that LeBron is controlling everything. And I'm not going to say that that might not be true, because you know, I've always remarked on this show in the past 2 months in regards to how he had Jeannie on one hand and Linda Rambis on the other arm. So the question is LeBron going to continue to put a chokehold on this organization?
Gerald, I'm going to quote something we've talked about for a lot. This quote's been long said on this show. The man who shot Liberty Valance is a great Western. And one of the best lines in the movie is towards the end when they're talking, and he tells the reporter the truth. The reporter says, "Sir, when a legend becomes fact, you print the legend." And in today's society, Gerald, it's not necessarily legend anymore. It's narrative. So when the narrative becomes fact, print the narrative. I think that's the narrative that a lot of people think is going on. But Gerald, there are only 24 hours in a day. LeBron is an athlete. He's a businessman. He also has a family. I think the idea that he's pearl clutching over what happens with clutch is kind of paralysis by analysis. Although I do think that Spence has a point, and I understand the spirit of what he's saying. That being said, LeBron was never on board with Ham. And I think that needs to be said as well. That the narrative that, like I said, I'm not sure if it was, I think it was a couple shows ago. There will be a Los Angeles Lakers franchise after LeBron walks out the door. So the idea that he controls every minutia that the Lakers undergo is just, it's not true. It's not true. He has a lot of input, and Jeannie respects him, obviously, and puts a lot of stock in what he has to say and think at that. But that being said, Gerald, Jeannie has made a number of decisions over the number of years LeBron has been here that LeBron has disagreed with and he hasn't liked. It's not as if it's been catered to LeBron. They placate to LeBron all the time. That's just simply not true, because the Lakers didn't even do that with Kobe.
We'll see what happens, my friend.
Oh, and Gerald, I'd like to, I'm glad Nick is here, because I'm going to be bold.
Oh, here we go.
And say that Rob Pelinka is a known liar.
Oh, well, that's pretty tame from on this show. So
well, he is a liar. He lied about Kobe meeting Keith Ledger for dinner after he saw The Dark Knight. That never happened, Gerald. That never happened. They were never even in the same room together, according to Hollywood people. And to be frank, to be Sean, you know, it's not hard to see why Kobe hired Rob Pelinka. Gerald, Kobe only had two agents his entire 20-year career. Can you name the other one?
No.
Arn Tellem.
That's what I thought you would say. Okay.
Yeah. So he had Arn Tellem and he had Rob Pelinka. The only reason he hired Rob Pelinka was on the advice from Carlos Boozer when they were on Team USA in the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. Boozer, as we remember, Gerald, Rob Pelinka told a big lie to the Cleveland Cavaliers about Carlos Boozer, and they turned around and signed with the Utah Jazz. And Rob is what he is, man. He was a ferocious agent. He got a lot of his clients paid. And that's what Boozer's told him. He said, if you hire Pelinka, he will get you the most money. And it's really that simple. I know Joe and maybe others aren't kind of maybe putting the pieces together, but Carlos Boozer's the reason Rob Pelinka and Kobe Bryant linked up.
Well, let me ask you this, Henry, and let me bring it in here. And Henry's just shaking his head. Again, want to recap, the Lakers have dismissed Darvin Ham as coach, and obviously the speculation begins. So have you put any thought to it? Before I get to Nick to close out the show, Henry, I appreciate you stopping by. Always a pleasure having you on. I know you hate the sound of your voice, but I am going to throw this up on audio anyway. Sorry,
Henry. No, you're good, man. I'm not going to listen to it. I want to jump on with the boys.
Okay. All right. There you go. So, my friend, is there a direction you want to see this organization go in? Is it just the coach that you're looking for? Joe thinks that you should keep things relatively the same and try to build upon it.
There's, okay.
I'm not. I think some larger changes need to be made personally, but I don't think they will be. I think the Lakers, again, they're so afraid of going backwards to try and build this team into something better. They're willing to go into purgatory no matter how long it takes. So your thoughts on exactly what's next for the Los Angeles Lakers, Henry?
I'll give my answer, but I want to ask you because I haven't heard you say it yet. Mm-hmm. Are you in the boat of get rid of LeBron and AD, like trade them?
Stone is like 100% all in on it. I'm not 100% all in on it. I know the reality of the situation, but I think at this point you have to ask yourself, is LeBron and AD a championship combination? If you cannot find that answer within the first 30 seconds of your reasoning, then I think you know your answer. And for me, I have a little trouble with it. As each year goes by, it is less and less a chance. Both guys, are you seriously think that you're going to get 65 plus games from both of them again?
Probably.
Do you think
not.
LeBron will shoot 41% from behind the arc again? So, I mean, with all those things and you know, do you think his defense will get any better as far as it, staying attentive to it throughout the season again? You know, you've got to ask yourself these questions. And I'm beginning to find out that for me, that maybe I'm starting to lean as far as maybe you should make some wholesale changes. But again, I know the realities of what the Lakers will do. So I don't want to really go too much into that, Henry. I just think that you're genie. You like big names, LA. They like the big names. Steve Ballmer has got the brand new arena. So he wants to keep his big names, no matter how old they are. Same thing with genie, no matter how old they are or no matter how old they get, or no matter how injured they get, you're going to keep them going.
Yeah, well, realistically speaking, I agree with you. I agree with you, honestly, I do. But realistically speaking, I think they're going to go big fish hunting, meaning they're going to try to get a third star.
But you're limited.
Yeah.
Especially what if LeBron signs a 3-year big fat extension?
That's You're exactly really what he's stuck out.
Yeah. You don't think he's going to take one for the team and give you that hometown discount?
No. Players don't do that. Very rarely it happens.
Kawhi did kind of a little bit, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, but every year he's injured right before the play, you know. You asked me what I would do personally. Of course, coaching-wise, whatever coach we get, I'm automatically just going to assume it's going to be an upgrade to what we had, okay? So I think that makes us better. I'm still on the boat that LeBron and AD are a championship duo, but I do realize the points you're making. I think they just need to use those assets, meaning the draft picks that they have, and really identify the role players that they have, meaning like Rui. Hopefully D'Lo resigns so we can trade him, because we'd lose an asset for nothing if that's another bad asset management moment from Pelinka. Anyways, I just meant like, I think we need to realize the points you made, the deficiencies in LeBron's age, health, defense, get better role players if we can with our draft picks and keep the core duo. I'm more in favor of the depth route rather than the 3-star route. But realistically speaking, I think we can all agree they're going to go big fish hunting and give LeBron that insane contract, because that's just what the Lakers do. You know what I mean? That's how they are known. And I don't think Jeannie will ever change. Her father was known to be the person that would always take care of stars, and unless the star really himself wanted out. So I think she's just going to follow that path. But I'm more team depth and build around the edges. And with better coaching, I think they have a chance. I mean, realistically speaking, they're playing well against Denver. You know what I mean? I think they just needed a few better defensive supporting cast around LeBron, because you can't expect him to play defense all game. He's just too old for that. And then with some coaching, some offense, some scheme, some timeout management, challenge at the right time, stuff like that, I think it automatically will make them better. And I also think, with that being said, they can be not in the play-in where they're killing themselves the last month and a half of the regular season for positioning and seeding, whereas they could be like a fourth or fifth seed and have some sort of rest advantage where they can afford for AD and LeBron to play like 65 and less games, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm being clear or not.
No, you are. And I appreciate, again, you stopping by. Laker Nick, always great to have you here as well. And Magic Man, thank you again for spending your time with us and your lunch with us as well. And Joe, wherever you're at on the freeways, please don't kill anyone. And appreciate him stopping by. But Laker Nick, what do you see for the franchise now going forward, now that we're also looking for a head coach?
Yeah, Gerald. So obviously, I don't think that they're going to blow it up, right? Even reading the press release of Darvin Ham's dismissal, the Lakers end that press release by saying that they're committed on delivering a championship caliber team next season. And I anticipate they'll do some filling out in the depth area. You know, I think that obviously the core of AD and LeBron is there to stay. I think Reeves is going to stay. D'Lo, that's up in the air. But they do need, you know, perimeter defense. They need a better backup center or someone that has the capacity to play center full time. For them to blow it up at this stage, you know, I think it wouldn't sit well with the fan base. I know that, as you mentioned, Stone Hansen feels differently. But, you know, I know that there's a lot of talk about LeBron's age, and I understand and I recognize that he's not Miami Heat LeBron, and he's not going to get to that level again. But as a, you know, effectively 40-year-old man averaging like 25-8-8 for this past season, I don't think you do that on accident. I do think that he still has a lot of talent left, and we saw in the last game against Denver that he still turned it on. You know, he might not run back on defense and frustrate us on some of those almost like half court three pointers that he sometimes takes. But I do think that, you know, his IQ as a basketball player has only grown as admittedly his physical faculties have declined.
So we'll see. But for now, it is the Lakers letting go of Darvin Ham. He is no longer part of the organization. Again, we'll hopefully be able to clarify just how many years he has left on his contract to see whether or not you know, he decides to go elsewhere. I'm sure he'll be considered by Charlotte, the Wizards. I know the Nets also was talked about, I guess, as far as an assistant coaching position for him if he decides to go ahead and take it, but we'll see what Darvin Ham. I think he actually will. Let me ask you this, Magic, and I'll close it out with you, my friend. Do you think he'll find another job in the NBA? Because I think absolutely he will, because these guys are retreads. These and NBA teams retread all the time. He is a coach that has an above 500 winning record. And I despite my better judgment or anyone else's better judgment, I do think that these guys always get another shot in the NBA. Luke Walton did.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. I think he will find gainful employment again in the NBA, Gerald. I'm just not sure if it's going to be later rather than sooner.
Oh, it will be. I don't think it'll be sooner. I think it will be later.
No.
Are you saying as a head coach or assistant coach?
I think he'll get another job as a coach. I think he will. I just think that's the way the league works. The league always gives you like more than one chance.
Maybe later. Yeah. Maybe with a young team, man, like expectations type stuff. Yeah, exactly. Something young, developmental.
But Charlotte's going to hire a coach this offseason.
No, I didn't say like a Charlotte. Yeah. I should say like down the road.
Like there's a another Charlotte,
17 win team that, you know, has no chance to grow. I think, oh, okay, get a guy that used to work with the Lakers or something like that. You know, I just, again, you've seen it before, a guy getting a second chance. These coaches always get like retreads. It's that always seems to happen. Whether or not you think he's a good coach or not, I'm just saying, do I think he will get another opportunity? I believe he will.
Put it this way, Gerald. If Chauncey Billups can hold on to his job for this long, Darvin Ham is bound to get another job. So
yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we'll see. But it is, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers letting go Darvin Ham. Please let us know your thoughts. And if you've not yet liked and subscribed, please do so. I'm not going to be like Patrick Beverly and not answer your question if you don't subscribe. Okay. So
that's hilarious.
That's just ridiculous. But we will hope, as Joe hates that word, that you will subscribe so you get the latest.
Gerald, just on that, because you brought up Patrick Beverly.
Yes. It was Joe's favorite.
It obviously Patrick Beverly was completely like rude in that circumstance, but I'll say this, the media has allowed him to be a jerk, not to use a more colorful language, throughout his career. And so in some large sense, the media has enabled this behavior from Patrick Beverly.
That's true.
I'm not saying he's okay, by the way. I was cringing when I saw that.
Yeah, or when he was throwing the balls at the fan. As a matter of
fact, sue him.
What was said was something, you know, that they were coming out of a timeout. The fan yelled Cancun, 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
That's hilarious.
Know. Yeah. So if it was something like that, that's pretty tame. And if that's what actually was said,
I thought it would be racial or something.
Yeah.
Right?
If it's something like that, then that's serious.
Nick?
But if it's something like Cancun, give me a break. Come on.
Nick, being the resident lawyer, that's the definition of battery, right? He threw a ball at somebody's head.
That's textbook battery, Sean. Yeah, that's unlawful contact with the person of another.
Sue him.
Well, he meant to throw it at a dude. I think it hit a woman in the head the first time around. Then the dude threw it back, and then he threw it back at the guy again. And then, of course, you saw after the game, he had words with an ESPN producer and would not continue the interview and asked her to step out because she wasn't a subscriber to his podcast.
Apparently, he's been doing that all year.
Year.
And we just found out.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Gerald. He's been enabled by the media. No one like really stands up to him. Yeah. Also, like Greg Popovich is also sometimes rude to the media and people like just laugh it off. And I do think that, you know, it just animates abusive behavior against, you know, people that are just trying to do their jobs. But yeah, I think with Pat Bev, he obviously recognized that he messed up with the ball throwing incident because he was on Twitter X apologizing for that.
Well, definitely.
Oh, he knows. He knows he's getting sued.
He's getting sued or he's getting out of the league or something like that. I don't know how many more teams want to put up with Patrick Beverley, but we'll find out. But
as long as Doc Rivers has a job, I think Patrick Beverley has a roster spot, it looks like.
Well, Gerald, I think that's why he's trying to promote his podcast, because Pat Bev knows that, you know, his gainful employment in the NBA might be over.
Oh, I think the Bucks have had enough. When the Bucks apologized to that producer, the organization did. Yeah, they are not happy right now, so they don't need him, and they're obviously not going to be that great. You know, the way that it stands right now, we'll see what happens with them. I think I'm going to leave Bucks everyone. Bucks are a mess. I'm going to leave everyone this. Look at the last few champions that have been out there, or the teams that have gone to the finals level or been champions, like the Warriors. Like the Suns, like the Bucks, like the Lakers. All those teams are in various levels of purgatory right now. And, you know, a lot of them are, heavily in debt right now. And a lot of them need to make some serious changes. So we will definitely see what's going to go on with all these former winning teams and see if they can go ahead and come back. But the Lakers, we care about the most, and that's what we're going to talk about here.
Listen, guys, one last thing. Forget about all that. Today's a great day. We got rid of Darvin Ham. For all those days we were on playback, all of us here alongside the chatters that are there, every single one, Doobie, Cool Bro, Kurt Affair, all the Allen, all the regulars, all that stuff we're typing. Getting carpal tunnel like this dude needs to call timeout. Just rejoice, relax. He's gone. Today is a new day.
Find some new pockets elsewhere. Absolutely.
Gerald, I was actually going to mention that. I'm sad that we're not going to hear the word pockets too often anymore.
No, we won't, Nick. But you know what? He'll be driving somewhere on vacation and hopefully he'll have a nice time with all the timeouts he saved that went right along with him. So
he's going to be blaming at injuries.
Yep. And blaming everyone else. Yep. For it. Absolutely. And Lakers fans as well. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. I want to thank so much again, Henry Hill from Courtside Lakers, Magic Man Sean Grice, Laker Nick, and the traveling Soro himself, Joe Soro. Somewhere out in the freeways. Watch out, everyone. It is Madman Joe. Truly appreciate each and every one of them joining us. I will be back on in about an hour and a half because I promised Alfred we would go ahead and get you caught up on the NBA playoffs. So you guys want to join us, I'll send the invites out. But yes, we'll be talking NBA playoffs. And I'm sure you want to talk more Ham. So we will talk more Ham. Magic Man, if you and Joe want to go on tonight and do a nightcap in regards to Darvin Ham, go ahead and put the word out to Joe if you can, my friend.
No pork on the fork.
I could come on tonight too.
Oh, there you go. See, you got more. All right. You know what? I'll text Joe. I'll text the dude himself here.
I'll pour up a whiskey with you guys.
All right. Fair enough. You guys are going to have to do a nightcap. And then tomorrow at 10 a.m., the Lakerholics already had something set up. Gee, I wonder what they're going to talk about as well. Wonder what that is.
Jamie better not go all rogue and talk about how, you know, violence shrinks for Darvin Ham. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely. I think Minnesota, I'm picking Minnesota. If they play like the way they did in the game 3 and game 4 on the road at Phoenix and totally shut down the 3-point area and force them to shoot, take steps in and shoot contested 20-footers. Plus the fact that, again, they have big bodies they can throw at Jokic. more than one big body they can throw. They have three. They have three quality big men they can throw at Jokic.
They have three quality guards they could throw at Murray too, Joe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
McDaniels
you got
will be all over him.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Wolves in seven.
Yeah.
Laker Nick?
I like the Wolves. I like what Anthony Edwards is bringing so far in the postseason. I mean, completely fearless. Gerald, I just want to call out Kurt Affair with the comment of the afternoon or day, wherever you might be.
I have a feeling what you're going to say. Go ahead, my friend.
He said, quote, Joe is ranting about Darvin Ham to fish taco stand as we speak.
I swear, Kurt can be a comedian, man.
Magic Man Joe might get the battery charged and I'll bat Pat Bev.
Oh.
Joe is Joe, but
so all three of you chose Minnesota. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What I saw and evaluate what really, I mean, yes, I know Denver had a tough time with the Lakers. I get that, but if Minnesota plays the way that they did against Phoenix and utilizes that scheme to run them off the three-point line, i.e. MPJ, to run MPJ off the three-point line, which the Lakers did not do successfully, then it makes it a lot easier for Minnesota to win that series.
KCP is a fine defensive guard, but he is no way capable of defending Ant.
That was going to be why I chose Minnesota. I can't see anyone guarding Ant. Even if it's KCP, he's too small. If it's Aaron Gordon, I think he's too slow. And who's going to guard Cat down low? I don't know. I think it's a favorable matchup. I'm excited to watch it. But whoever wins, please, anyone, but those mother Boston, you know who, anyone.
We'll see. Go Knicks, go, if that's the case. But once again, it is the Lakers fast break. Darvin Ham has been let go. Doobie is probably doing backflips wherever Doobie lives right now. If you see some gentleman doing backflips down the street, that is Doobie, because he hated Ham in wins and losses.
The quote of the Darvin Ham era.
I told him to trademark that. I told him to put that on a t-shirt and he didn't do it.
I hate Darvin Ham in wins and losses.
That's amazing. Correct. He's the best.
He probably hates Ham even more now that he's fired.
His nightcap started at 12 o'clock today.
Yep. So I put on here to Joe that you guys want to do a nightcap. So we'll set that up and hopefully we will go ahead and set up a Lakerholic Spotlight tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And I'll be on again in about an hour and a half with Alfred Esmond talking NBA playoffs.
Just let me know, guys. Email me. I have my parents coming over for dinner and whatnot. I'm Pacific time. So just let me know. And then once they're gone, we can do the nightcap or something.
Sounds good. All right. Once again, Darvin Ham has been fired. It is, of course, Laker Nick, Magic Man Sean Grice, Henry Hill, Joe Soro, and myself, Gerald Glassford. Please like and subscribe. No, I will not answer your question. I will answer your question. I will not be mean to you and rude to you if you don't, but please, it does help us out. It does help us out. You know, even if you're not an ESPN producer, if you subscribe, it does help us out. So please like, subscribe, follow, whatever you can to support us. Darvin Ham, nice to have known you, but don't let the door hit you on the way out. And thanks again for joining us. We'll be back here today. Alfred Esmond at 2 and a nightcap coming up later tonight to talk more Darvin Ham gone. They're going to celebrate tonight as only they can on the nightcap with Joe Soro right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.